Hey, it's good to see you guys. My name is Matt Routon. My wife Kathy and I serve as your connections pastor here, and it is a blessing to be serving at Authentic. God is doing some great things here, isn't he? If you believe that, give God a hand clap. Amen. He is doing some great things, and I just want to give respect to Pastor Sean for allowing me to preach today, to bring forth the word, to kick off season 3 of Sermon on the Mount. Yes, the ratings were good. We were picked up for a third season. And it's going to be the best season yet. If you guys ever watch TV and know anything about ratings, you know what that reference means. But it is a blessing to be able to bring forth the word. Pastor has asked me to preach today to kick off this season of the sermon series, and wouldn't you know, he asked me to preach about loving your enemies. I don't know if he knows something secretly about me that he's been praying for. I don't know if the Holy Spirit told him, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm all good. But he asked me to kick it off, and we're going to be talking about loving your enemies today. It's a hard subject, but it's a necessary subject. Amen. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to just bless the word today. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you today for the opportunity to preach your word. God, the Bible tells us, God, that we are not only to be hearers of your word, but also doers. So God, that is what we ask today, God, that we would not just be hearers of what you'd have to say, but God, we'd become doers. God, do and act out your word today. Speak to us. Open up our ears to listen and open up our hearts to respond. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sue. We appreciate you so much. Yeah, give her a hand. Amen. So we are again kicking off season 3 of the Sermon on the Mount. And it has been a good series, amen? Yeah. And how many of you have been blessed by this series? Come on, it's all right. You've been blessed by it, amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had someone say something to you that you wish you didn't hear? I'll give you an example. My son, Javon, I once heard him say, "Oh, gross, there's something brown oozing out of my toilet." I wish I didn't hear that because I had to do something about it. Or when my kids were younger, we were taking them out. We had a crazy idea of taking them to Chuck E. Cheese's, the worst place on earth. Any adults know what I'm talking about? And so we're sitting there enjoying the best pizza in the world. And all of a sudden we hear, "Mom, Dad, I found a diaper." And they were playing it in the ball pit. Yeah, something I wish I didn't hear. Or how about this? You hear something your spouse says and you wish you didn't hear it because you know now that you heard it, you're on the hook to doing it. Here's an example. My wife one morning said, "Honey, I'm helping the kids with their schoolwork. Can you wash the dishes for me?" Something I wish I didn't hear because now I'm on the hook to doing it. So when she usually asks that, I pretend I'm sleeping. Because if I don't hear it, then I don't have to do it, right? Ignorance is bliss. But there are things that we hear sometimes that we really wish we didn't hear. Things that we hear sometimes because we know that now that after we hear them, we're on the hook for doing them. We have a responsibility to do them. And throughout this Sermon on the Mount series, we've been hearing some instructions from Jesus that, to be quite honest, I wish I didn't hear. Jesus has said some things that, to be honest with you, I wish he never would have said. And to be honest with you, I wish Pastor would have never preached. Because now that we've heard them, we're on the hook to doing them. Things like, remaining humble, merciful, pure, because God blesses you in those things. We have been instructed to stay salty and bright, which is not always easy. We've been instructed not to be angry with one another because it's like murder. We've been instructed not to look at another and say, you got fries to go with that shake, because it's like committing adultery. We've been instructed about divorce. We've been instructed about making vows. We've been instructed about turning cheeks. And these things have not been easy to hear. And they have been tough lessons to learn and tough things to digest and tough things to hear. They haven't been easy, but they have been necessary. Amen? You see, Jesus just doesn't say things to say things. Every time and any time that Jesus speaks in his word, it is for a purpose. And so when Jesus was preaching the greatest sermon in the history of sermons, he did it with a purpose. And now that we hear these things, guys, we're on the hook. He expects us to respond. He expects us to do. And it's not easy. And I wish I can tell you season 3 is going to be a lot more easier. But you know what? Get ready. I may not want to hear what Jesus is saying, but it's necessary for me to hear. And it's necessary for you to hear. So if you have your Bibles this morning, or you got it on your phones, or it'll be up here on the screen, if you can look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 43 to 48. Reading out of the Message Bible today. And it says, you're familiar with the old written law. Love your friends and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you. And I just got to say, thank you, Pastor Sean, for having me preach this message. Hey, if you're taking notes, the title of my message today is I Heart Haters. Everybody make the heart. Well, you know how to do it. I can't do it with the microphone, but you. I heart haters. You know, we sometimes, well, let's just get real. All the time, seems like we have difficulty loving our enemies, right? It's hard to love our enemies, but it is necessary. Here's a question for you. Anybody got some haters? Anybody have any haters out there? You got haters? You got enemies? Yeah? If you didn't raise your hand, it's okay. We all have haters, to be honest. Even Jesus had enemies. You notice that Jesus didn't negate the fact that we have enemies. In fact, he acknowledged it, didn't he? When he said, you need to love your enemies. He acknowledges that we do have enemies because we all have enemies in our lives. And so I think this message is for all of us today because I believe it's going to bring revelation, and I believe it's going to bring insight into how we are to love our haters, how we are to to love our enemies. And as we look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, I want to bring out 3 points this morning that'll help us in dealing with our enemies, in dealing with our haters. And so point number one, first of all, we need to identify our haters. Who are your haters? Who are your enemies? We need to identify them. A hater or an enemy is someone who sets themselves against you. Someone who opposes you. You see, a hater could be your neighbor. You know, most of us said, when I asked the question, who has haters, most of us raised their hand. So why don't you help me? Okay, so a hater could be our neighbor. What else? What are some other enemies that you guys have in your lives? Come on, shout them out. Family members. Bullies. Anybody else? The Packers. Amen. The Packers. No, but they could be a family member. They can be bullies at school. They can be a neighbor. They can be an ex-spouse, an ex-boyfriend, a girlfriend. These can be your haters. It's important as we identify our haters to understand something. To understand that when Jesus is speaking about enemies in Matthew 5, he's not speaking about a political figure. He's not speaking about ISIS or other terrorist groups. He's not speaking about another country. And no, he's not even speaking about the St. Louis Cardinals. Which, by the way, thank you, because we clinched a division in St. Louis. Thank you for that. That's right. Chris Bryant, MVP. Just throwing that out there. He's not speaking about a political figure. He's not speaking about those people that we have no contact with. You know who he's speaking about? When he's speaking about our enemies, our haters, he's speaking about those people that we see on a daily basis. He's thinking about that person at work. He's thinking about our boss. He's speaking about that cashier in lane number 5. I'm not saying at what store. He's speaking about this, and he's not speaking about those people we don't come in contact with. Who is he speaking about? Is those we come into contact with on a daily basis. Your hater could even be a family member. You know, that person, the reason you dread Thanksgiving, because you know, oh, he's going to be there, she's going to be there. Don't act like you don't have an uncle. That's like that. I'm saying, when we identify our haters, we need to identify them as these people whom we see every day. And these are the ones, these are the haters that Jesus is asking us to love. And when we realize and when we recognize and when we identify our haters and know that, hey, it's not the president, it's not a political figure, it's not North Korea, it's not ISIS, it's not terrorists. The haters that he's saying is the ones that I have to see tomorrow. Then it helps us to understand how he wants us to deal with them. You see, I can do very little to change the president's mind. I can do very little to stop terrorism all over the world. I can do very little to convince North Korea to stop launching missiles. I can do very little in doing that. But I sure can do a lot in ministering to my enemies. And that is what Jesus is saying. That is what he's asking us to do. So when he says enemies, recognize who he's talking about. Get it out of your mind if you're thinking, well, my enemy is the government. No, the enemy that Jesus is talking about here is your neighbor, is your ex-spouse, is your ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, is that bully at your school, is that coworker, is that boss. That is who he's talking about. And the reason he says to love them is because he knows that we're able to change them. Identify, recognize your haters. So now that we know who Jesus is speaking about, let's see what he says and how we are to deal with them. Which brings me to point number 2. Allow your haters to bring out the best in you. I do not like this point. Allow your haters to bring out the best. But we do the opposite, don't we? We have it all wrong. God, Jesus is asking us, hey, when you come into contact with your enemy, when you come into contact with your hater, allow them to bring out the best in you, not your worst. And so many times, our haters, if we're honest, so many times our haters will bring out the worst in us. So many times we allow them to bring out our worst. We call our boss a slave driver when they ask us to work later. We run our ex's name through the mud because of what they did to us. We call our coworker every name in the book because they talk to the boss about us. And we allow the worst to come out of us when we're dealing with our enemy. And God says, I don't want it that way. I don't want it that way. God comes along and he flips the script. In fact, when God says, you heard it said to love your enemy and hate, or you heard it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. When God said that, when Jesus said that part to hate your enemy, do you know that wasn't even in the law? If you look at it in the Old Testament, that part, hate your enemy, nowhere in the Bible is it a law to hate your enemy. But Jesus included it because he understood the times. He understood that the natural way of thinking is that, well, if the law is to love my neighbor, then it's only natural that I'm to hate my enemy. And he addressed that. He said, no, 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 you have it all wrong. Yeah, love your neighbor, but also I want you to love your enemy as well. He completely flipped the script. He blew their minds at that mountainside because for so long they were loving their neighbor, but they were rejecting and hating their enemy. And we're not so different today. Because for most of our lives, we were easy to love our neighbor, but when it comes to my enemy, when it comes to that person who backbites me and stabs me in the back and talks bad about me, when it comes to that person that opposes me, when it comes to that person who speaks against me, we don't want to admit it because it's such a strong word, but we hate them. Oh, don't say that. But it's true. What else can we call it? When we allow them to bring out the worst in us, it surely isn't love. It's hate. And Jesus says, no. No. I want you to allow them to bring the best in you. He says, when your hater is giving you a hard time, here's what he says. He doesn't say, tolerate them. He doesn't say, just put up with them, ignore them. You know what he says? He says, when your hater is giving you a hard time, love them, and here's how you love them, pray for them. Pray for them. And I wish that I was there at the mountainside, and I wish that they would have had microphones back then, because I believe Jesus would have just dropped the mic right then and there. Pray for them. Right? That's a mic drop moment. Here's how you are to love your enemies. Here's how you are to love your haters. Pray for them. And don't pray for them that way that country song says to pray for them, right? But pray for them in a way that you're showing love, that you actually care about what happens to them and in their lives. That's how Jesus is asking us to pray for them. So let me ask you this question. Get your steel-toed boots on because I'm about to step on some toes. All right, I'm warning you. So let me ask you this question. When is the last time you prayed for your enemy? When is the last time someone rose up against you in opposition and your first response was to get on your knees and to pray blessings in their lives and not to curse them out? Right? That's how Jesus wants us to respond to our enemies. That's how he wants us to respond to our haters with love and in prayer. You see, when we allow our haters to bring out the worst in us, we are stepping right into the enemy's plan. We are stepping right into what he wants and the control he wants in our lives. Here's what it should be. It should be that the best is coming out of us. God wants us to operate in the way that he created us. And God did not create you so that the worst of you can come out of you. He created you so that the best would be flowing through you. That is what he wants. He says, when you are doing this, when you're actually praying for your enemy and loving your enemy, you are operating in the way that I created you. Right there, honestly, guys, that should be enough to make us want to love our enemy. It should be enough that we want to operate in the way that God created us, right? I know that's what I want. And he says, so when you do that, you're actually operating in the way that I created you. And that is what he wants. He wants the best to be flowing out of us. He wants us to love our enemy. So what does that look like? It looks like prayer. And here's what it doesn't look like. Okay, God, I got it. Love my enemy. I love them, but I don't have to like them. Anybody ever say that? Oh, come on, I'm the only one. All right, God, I get it. Love my enemy. I love them, but don't expect me to like them. I love them, but I don't have to like them. But can I tell you something? That's not your best. That is not your best. In fact, that's your worst. That's the least you can do. Right? The last time I read John 10:10, he tells me that Jesus came so that I can have life, but not just any type of life, but have an abundant life, a life of fullness. So I look at that and I'm thinking, God just doesn't want good enough out of me. Oh, it's good enough to love my enemy, but I don't have to like them. That's not our best. If Jesus came to give us life to the fullness, then he wants us to go all out. He wants us, as Pastor Sean said a few weeks ago, to go that extra mile. And he wants us to love our enemy the way he loves them. So got your shoes on, your steel-toed boots on? He wants us to love our hater the way he loves them. It's not good enough to say, I'll love my enemy, but I don't have to like him. Yeah, you do. You do. Because that is the way that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Did you know, before we became a child of God, before we surrendered our lives to God, if you're here today and you surrendered your life to God, do you know that before you did that, you were an enemy of God? That's what the Bible says. But the Bible also says, while we were yet and still enemies and still set against God, still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait till I got it all together. Sometimes, well, I'll love my enemy when they come and apologize to me. Then I'll love them. That's not how it works. That's not your best. Your best is to show them love even when they're in your face and cussing you out. That's your best. Because that's the way Christ loves us. And that's how he wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to allow our enemies to bring out the best in us. Pray for them. Love them the way Christ loves them. And then number three, allow your haters to bring growth. Allow your haters to bring growth. Verse 48 says this. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives towards you. This verse is all about maturity. Jesus is saying this, and I love the fact that he's saying it, because if you don't like it, talk to him. that's awesome. He's telling you today to grow up. If you're having issues and struggles with loving your enemy, he's saying to you, grow up. I say this with love. If you claim to be a mature Christian, if you claim to be spiritually mature, but yet you struggle with loving your enemy every day, then you need to reevaluate yourself. And in the words of Ice Cube, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You need to check. No, never mind. Yes, before he was an actor, he was a rapper. It's all about spiritual maturity. Don't claim spiritual maturity if you're running your enemy's name through the mud. It's better just to keep your mouth shut. It's all about maturity. Jesus is saying, hey, and understand who he's talking to. Remember who he's talking to you to on this Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to have it all together, the ones who other people look to for spiritual advice. And he's outright, straight up telling them, you claim to have it all. You claim to be spiritually mature, but I'm telling you that you struggle to love your enemies. Grow up. Grow up. Because if you're struggling with this, then you are not spiritually mature. Again, you don't like it. Take it up with God. Grow up. He wants us to allow our haters to bring growth to us. Because let's be honest, that is exactly how he wants us to be. He wants us to be spiritually mature. He doesn't save us to keep us as baby Christians, through reading the word and through discipleship and through studying God's word and through praying and through fellowshipping with other Christians, we become spiritually mature. That is what he wants us to do. It's a journey. And that is why he's saying grow up. That is why he's wanting us to hear that, to grow up. A true sign of Christian growth is that you love your enemies. And this hits home to me. Because to be honest, there's times when I struggle with loving my enemies. Because I have a justice streak in me. You do me wrong, you better believe I'm going to get back at you because it's not fair. Anybody ever say that in your life? It's not fair. You're absolutely right. It is not fair. But listen, when it comes to the kingdom of God and when it comes to God's grace, you don't want fair. You don't. Because remember when I said we were enemies of God? fairness is that we still are enemies of God. It is not fair that Jesus had to go to the cross to die for something he didn't ever do. But yet, he went anyways because of you and because of me. That's not fair. Come on, yeah, give him a hand clap. So the next time you complain about your enemy and say, it's not fair, thank God. Thank God. Because when it comes to his kingdom, you don't want fairness. But I struggle with this because I have a justice streak in me. I believe that everybody should come to justice. And it's got to be my justice. If you know what I'm talking about. You ever read in the paper or see in the news somebody who committed a crime and the verdict that they got, and you ever say to yourself, oh, well, if I was the judge or if I was the jury, I'd have gave them more time. That's how I am sometimes. It's got to be justice the way I want it. So I struggle with this. And maybe you do too. But I'm telling you, a sign of spiritual maturity is that you love your enemy. That you love your haters. Because Christ desires growth in our life. Jesus says, grow up. As children of God, you are kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your kingdom identity. This is powerful words from Jesus. And these powerful words from Jesus are still relevant today. Church, and not just right here, but I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. We need to hear these words. Grow up. We are kingdom subjects. We need to live as such. We need to live out our identity in Christ. Relevant today, because there's so many that don't. We are quick to judge and we're quick to hate. And we expect our enemy, we expect our haters, we expect those that are not children of God, we expect those that have never opened up the Bible in their lives, we expect them to follow the ways of God. And when they don't, we're offended. Oh, I can't believe those two guys are holding hands. That's an abomination to the Lord. Well, maybe they don't know that. Maybe they never opened up the Word of God. And maybe they don't realize that. And maybe instead of us condemning them and hating on them, maybe if we would just pray for them and show them love, God's love, because the last time I looked, Jesus ate with the tax collectors. The last time I looked, he went to Zacchaeus' house. The last time I looked, he loved his enemy. We want change in people's lives. Stop telling them what's wrong and tell them what's right. It's a message we need to hear as children of God. Grow up. You're showing your lack of spiritual maturity when you come against your enemy. Worship team, will you come, please? So what's the point? We hear Jesus' instruction to love our enemies. We learned how he wants us to deal with our enemies. Allow them to bring out the best in us. Allow them to bring us growth. And so now, Here's the why. Again, remember, Jesus just doesn't say things, just doesn't instruct us just to say things, but there's a purpose. Here is why Jesus is calling us today to love our haters. Here's why. It's because you and I may be the only Jesus your enemy ever sees. You don't know the root of the issue of why your enemy is set up against you. You don't know their past hurt. You don't know their life and what they go home to every day. You don't know the abuse that they may face. You don't know, you don't know the struggles that they may face that caused them to rise up against you. Because the honest answer is this: there's always a reason. There's always a root. And if we don't take the time to be Jesus in their lives, and we don't take the time to show God's love to them, then that's another soul lost. Are you hearing me? That is another soul lost. And that is the most serious business in your walk with God. You were saved. You were called by God. You were set apart. You are now a child of God so that you can bankrupt hell and add souls to the heaven, to the kingdom of God. That is why we do what we do. And when you don't love your enemy, you may be the only Jesus that they ever see. So instead of complaining, God, why did you bring that person in my life? All they do is bump up against me. All they do is rub me the wrong way. Why did you bring that person in my life? Instead of complaining, why don't you thank God and realize maybe God brought you into their lives? Maybe, just maybe, God brought you to be the Jesus that they need to see and the Jesus that they need to hear. This morning, at the end of the first experience, I was shaking hands. And a gentleman came up to me and he said, "Man, you guys are really stepping on my toes, causing me to think." He said, "Today, while you were preaching this message on loving your enemies, one of my enemies was sitting here in church. And I now realize what God wants me to do." That's life change. We need to realize now what God wants us to do. There's a story told of a man who was working on a crossword puzzle. And he asked the people around him, he said, "What is a four-letter word for a strong emotional reaction towards a difficult person?" And someone standing nearby him said, "The answer is hate. H-A-T-E. And then there was a lady who interrupted and said, "No, no. The answer is love. L-O-V-E. Guys, we are all working a crossword puzzle in our lives. We always have opportunities to show love. But it's up to us. How are we going to respond tomorrow when our enemy rises up against us? How are we going to respond when that coworker begins to gossip about us once again?" I want to close with this. There's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Jonah. Jonah was a man who loved God. And as a prophet, he took on the ministry of telling people about God and all the things of God. And he was sitting one day and God asked him, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now understand, Nineveh was a Babylonian city, and the Babylonians were the enemies of Jonah and his people. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh because I've seen their wicked ways and I want to show my love to them. And I'm sending you. Isn't that just like God sending us to people who we have a difficult time with? And Jonah doesn't go. In fact, he goes the complete opposite way. And to make a long story short, he realizes he's rebelling against God. So he jumps out of a boat and a big whale swallows him up. And he spends some time in the belly of a whale. And he finally comes to himself and he finally repents. And he finally says, God, I will go to Nineveh where you sent me. And then all of a sudden the whale spits him out on dry land. And so Jonah goes to Nineveh and he tells them about God and that they need to turn around and turn their evil ways. And he does it half-heartedly. He does it as a, okay, God, I'll love them, but I don't have to like them. Because this is what Jonah says later on in the book of Jonah. He says, you see, God, this is why I didn't want to go. Because I knew that if I would tell them about you and warn them about their wicked ways, I knew that you were a compassionate God and you would save them. And then there's another guy in the New Testament by the name of Stephen. And Stephen was a follower of Christ, and in fact, Stephen was the first martyr recorded in the Bible. Stephen was beginning to spread the good news of God and preach the good news of God. And it got him in trouble. People didn't like it. And so they began to persecute him. And the Bible says that they stoned him to death. They killed him because they didn't want to hear the good news. And as they were throwing the stones at Stephen, as they were killing him, Stephen says this, God, do not charge this sin against them. Stand with me today. Matt, what are you trying to get across? And here's what I want to leave you with today. Jesus challenges us to love our haters, to love our enemies. But how are you going to love them? Are you going to pick up the spirit of Jonah and do it half-heartedly? And say, all right, I'll love them, but I don't have to like them. And then get mad and offended when God actually does something in their lives? Or are you going to be like Stephen? And even when they're persecuting you, and even when they're cussing you, and even when they're backbiting you, and even when they're rising up against you, you pray for them and you still say, God, do not charge this against them. One is your worst and the other is your best. I choose to be like Stephen today. How about you? This morning, as we wrap up, as we close, I want to ask you, where are you at today? I really want you to evaluate where you're at today, right now. Are you allowing your enemy to bring out the worst in you? Or are you allowing your enemy to bring out the best in you? evaluate right now. And if you're here today and you'll say, Matt, I want to allow the enemy to bring out my best. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray blessings over them. I'm going to love them because I now realize that I may be the only Jesus that they'll ever see. And if that's you, then I want you to raise your hand right now. Come on, all over this building, raise your hand. Hands are shooting up all over this building. Picking up the challenge of Jesus and saying, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to love with my whole heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why this is exciting? Because things are about to change. Not only in the lives of your enemy, but in your lives too. Things are about to change. Souls are about to be won to the kingdom of God because there is a room full of people who raised their hand and said, I'm going to choose to give my best to my enemy. And God is going to transform his lives because he chooses to use you as an earthen vessel. You know, the Bible says it's the kindness that leads people to repentance. Lift up your hands. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. I praise you today because, God, there's a room full of people that have decided I'm going to pick up the challenge. And I'm going to love my enemy. And I am going to pray for them. And I'm going to show Jesus to their lives because, God, I know that is what you want me to do. And, God, we know that it's not going to be easy. And we know, God, that the enemy is going to speak to us. The devil's going to speak to us and tell us it's not worth it. Don't even try it. But, God, we are not going to listen to the lies of the enemy today. We are going to listen to your word that is true. And so, God, we will not be persuaded. We will not compromise. But, God, we lift up our hand today and we declare today that, yes, I will be Jesus to my enemy. I will show them love. And I will give them my best instead of my worst. In the name of Jesus, amen.